Welcome to A Way to Parent Through the Spiral of Life. I am Kara Pollard, and I am a PCI certified parent coach. We want to talk about ways to make parenting easier. And of three children, one 23-year-old daughter, a 20-year-old son, and a 16-year-old daughter. And I love talking about everything parenting because it's just not an easy task, I think, to do it in the way that we all want to. So today with me, I have my dear friend and co-host, Beth Kurzweil. Welcome, Beth. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thanks. I'm also a parent coach, and I'm a mother to four boys, age 15, 14, and I was a classroom teacher for 10 years. And right now I, in addition to being a parent coach, I stay home with my kids so I can also understand the busy, chaotic time that moms and dads go through trying to manage and balance it all.
Wonderful, Beth. It sounds like you have a lot of real life experience and educational training, both that must help you in your parenting and when you coach parents.
I try to do my best. I think we all do.
Yeah, and it can be very difficult sometimes. So I think a particularly fun and exciting time is summertime, which is now upon us for most schools. We're out for summer. Yay!
Yay!
But I also think it can be sometimes a little stressful and trying, particularly for parents who either want to stick to their normal schedule and their kids are suddenly out of school, or even for stay-at-home parents who now have, like in your case, four boys at home and either have, you know, completely different schedules from one another or different needs or different things that they want to do. So I think that it would be great to talk about some ways to keep sane during the summer. What do you think, Beth?
No, I completely agree. And I think the most important thing to survive the summer is you really need to have a plan, because without a plan, a couple of things happen. First of all, the summer ends up flying by. And when you get to the end of the summer, there's a lot of regret that it went by so quickly. So I think with the right plan, it'll help make the summer go better, and it'll make sure that you do the best to make the most of your summers and the most memories. I think you once said that you really only have, what, 18 summers?
Yes, if you can believe that. I mean, I guess if you, you know, have kids that are 4 years apart, you can add, you know, that to 22 summers, but they are fleeting. There really aren't that many when you look at it that way, that if you have, you know, three kids and the oldest and the youngest are 4 years apart, you have 22 summers that you have with your kids. And I think one of the most important things about summer is to create memories. Memories are so important, and that's ultimately what we're trying to do with our children. So I think that we can maybe ponder that for a few moments, Beth, and think about some ways that you've done that with your current boys. And I've done that with my couple kids who are at home and my oldest daughter. So thanks so much for thinking about that. Yeah, I just want to thank you for putting some thought into that again, Beth. You really, I know, wanted to share with us some of those things that you do to make the summer run a little more smoothly and create those memories and keep it on a schedule, or maybe not so much. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the first thing that we always do around here is I always print out a blank calendar with June, July, and August. Mm. And then with the kids, we start filling in the things that we know to do. So it might be trips that we're going on, or visits to grandparents' houses, maybe camps that we have planned, mm-hmm. or those kind of events, so that family birthdays, family reunions. So we fill in those dates first. We kind of can narrow down and see where our holes are. And then I know a lot of parents have already signed kids up for camps. Mm-hmm. And so if we have camps already, we'll put the camps in too. And then once we kind of have what's already filled and we see where we still have opportunities for things, then we can start making our plans. And so one thing that we've always done in our house is we kind of get together and we kind of make our summer bucket list. And I think a good way of doing it is the kids always pick something that reminds them of summer. And they always pick the school bus because they know it's the last thing they're going to see when the school ends. And it's the first thing they'll see when the school year begins. Mm-hmm. So they draw a bus and then they divide the bus up into sections. And then we kind of gather around it and we talk about what we want to do this summer to make memories. And they'll say things like, oh, miniature golfing. So we'll write that in a box. Or go down to the city and visit Millennium Park. We'll fill that in. Maybe it's go to the library. We'll fill that in. And so pretty soon all four boys are contributing and we'll fill in our chart. And then once again, we've got a plan and something to do, something that keeps us focused, something that keeps us every day that there's nothing big going on. Now we have something to go to the bus and say, what should we do today? And then the kids can all say, hey, let's do this over here. And then now we have something to kind of check off and kind of hold us accountable to make sure that we're all doing things that will make everybody in the family happy and then also give us some good memories.
Wow, what a great idea. I just love that, Beth. And so it gives them some, you know, buy-in to actually what you're doing that day because it may have been one of their own ideas.
Completely. I think you have to give them some ownership of the summer too, because it is their summer. So, I mean, that should have some say too in what they'd like to do as well.
Right. And so when it's one of, let's say it's one of the younger boys' day, do the older boys accompany you on their activity?
You know, for the most part, I think it's things that we can all do together, like go to the beach. Mm-hmm. But if it was something that maybe the older boys weren't that interested in, and I understood that, maybe that would be a day I'd say the younger two kids could bring a friend with them for that day. But, you know, for the most part, I think they usually pick things that they like to do together as brothers. But, yeah, I think that's important, too. There's definitely times where we could bring friends along, but I think enough things to do that you can include everybody, whether it be going down, riding our bikes to get some ice cream, mm-hmm. or things like that. But that's a good point too.
Yeah. It sounds so fun. I just, can I have a spot on your bus?
there's always room for one more.
Oh, excellent. So I asked my daughter in preparing for this, what some of her fondest memories were, because like we mentioned, really, ultimately, we really, as parents, are creating and helping to facilitate the memories that our children have. From their summers, I have some very fond memories, you know, of vacations or and small specific memories of the time we went the wrong way to Saugatuck. I mean, it's so silly, right? You get something in your head. And so I asked my 23-year-old, what does she like and what does she remember about summer? And she said that she really liked having some structure to the day, but also incorporating some free time. So she loved going to the pool from 9 to 3 and maybe taking a diving class or a swimming class in the morning, but then allowing for time to play outside. So again, maybe a sports camp in the morning, but playing outside the rest of the day. Or she remembers when I set up outdoor games. And some of her fondest memories are things that she set up herself, like the lemonade stands or car washing or babysitting. Or one time she even hosted her own summer camp in our backyard for 2 weeks. And she did it with a neighborhood girl. And the deal was they had to be outside. So she was 10 and or 11. So we all, the parents always had to be home. My friend and I had to be here. But these parents dropped their kids off. And there were about 6 of them in the class. And she had a full morning of activities with them, and the kids loved it, and my daughter loved it. I remember my friend and I praying for rain a couple times because it was
to get a break.
Right, we needed a break. It was canceled if it rained. But anyway, she likes those things that she had the autonomy to create herself and to do it kind of in her own way. And those are some of her fondest memories, which I was a little bit surprised at. I had forgotten about some of them, but she also did like, you know, going to museums and camps. She said that theater camp is one of her favorite memories. And even if you're not an actor, she just liked that camaraderie, whether you were building the set or being on stage or creating the music. She just really enjoyed a 2-week summer camp. And then she loved road tripping, camping, outdoor picnics, beach trips, outdoor concerts, block parties, and festivals. So I was kind of tickled, I have to say, that when I asked her, she came up with these really in a split second. And she added that she really didn't want to be bogged down with too much schoolwork. So I really wanted to ask you about that, Beth, about the schoolwork aspect. Being a former teacher, what is your opinion about, you know, summer brain drain and what we should actually be doing to keep their cognitive abilities up during the summer months?
Well, I think it's a great point, and summer brain drain is definitely a real thing, but I think there are many creative ways to fight that. And I think, you know, even by your daughter having a summer camp, that is summer drain brain. I mean, she had to think of the activity, she had to manage the money, she had to run the camp, she had to keep the kids in line. I mean, all those are skills that are also helping her with school-related tasks. You know, one thing that I do with my boys that's not technically school, but it's doing STEM-related activities is I give them a ton of shoeboxes and materials and supplies and cardboard, and I challenge them to make a miniature golf course with those supplies. And then that's what they do. They invite some friends over. They build a miniature golf course that is a usable miniature golf course. And then they will charge us to take a round on the miniature golf course. And for me, that seems a lot more fun and a lot more reasonable than having them sit down and do some workbook pages on algebra or geometry or math or angles. I mean, there's more learning going on there. And it's also showing them those kind of things can be fun as opposed to just sitting inside in the basement and playing video games. So I think those are some important distinctions to make. But, you know, one thing that I think you should be doing all summer is definitely reading.
Mm-hmm.
I think just doing that alone can help some of the slide. And I think one thing that you can do that doesn't make it so much like, all right, now it's time to read, go upstairs. I think it's just modeling it yourself. I mean, one thing that I do around here is just at some point during the day, you know, the TV's off and I'll just go get my book and I'll sit on the couch and I'll start to read. And pretty soon I'll see one other kid come and join me on the couch, then another kid come and join me on the couch. And pretty soon I look around and there's 2-3 people and we're all reading.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what the goal is. If you can model that reading's a pleasurable, positive experience, you'll be surprised that what your kids think about it too. It doesn't have to be at night or in the morning. It could be at all times of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, but definitely reading should be a part of their day, and anything you can do to get them to be engaged is important.
Right. I think that's such a good point, right? It's not necessarily, you know, they're in the middle of a football game and we say, it's reading time because it's 2:00. That actually happened to me growing up. My aunt babysat us once and it was literally reading time at 2:00, no matter what we were doing. And of course we ended up very much resenting it, my sister, brother, and I, because, you know, we may have been at a friend's house. We may have been at the pool and she was not going to veer off from her strict schedule that at 2:00 we were supposed to enjoy picking up a book. Yes. And so we just didn't like it. And it reminds me, I'm hosting this book club with 6th grade boys and girls, and there are more boys in the group. And I asked them on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to be here right now? And it was really funny. I said, no, you can be honest. If you don't want to be here, you can let me know. And so one kid said, they all said seven or eight. And this one kid said, well, I'm a little above a one.
Oh, gosh.
And I laughed really hard. And he said, the only reason I say that is because I ended school and I don't want to have to read, you know. And so I said, you know what? You don't have to read any of this. We're here to discuss a lot of things about this book. And none of them are a test. None of them are a quiz. I'm not going to grade you. You don't get points. You know, it's just because you want to discuss these things. And you should have seen him just melt. And the rest of the time, he completely contributed to, and in a really authentic and deep, deep way, about some of the subject matter. So it was really wonderful for me to see. So I think your point of modeling and making it natural and fun, as opposed to, you know, what my aunt did, really helps us to just keep that reading for enjoyment frame, where when they get out of grade school and into high school, sometimes they're so stressed out that they're not reading as much for enjoyment. And it's really sad, because we don't want to lose that at all.
Absolutely. Well, so important.
Yeah. And I do think the other thing about some people think that they need to give worksheets. And I think, you know, like you said, doing projects that are teaching are so much more fun than giving a worksheet that's a rote kind of typical way. They're kind of begrudging the fact that they're doing a worksheet, where if they were, you know, building the golf course, it's a lot different than making them fill out a worksheet. So I think that sounds like a much better way. So I love your idea there too, Beth.
You know what, there's some programs too that you can, there's mail subscriptions. Tinker Crates is a program. It's tinkercrates.com. And it's a STEM program that'll come to your door once a month. And when it comes, you get to assemble, you know, it could be anywhere from like a little crane that you make. And then for different ages, they have, it could be a doodle crate, it could be a tinker crate, or it could be a kiwi crate if you're a preschool and under. But it's something that you could subscribe to. You can actually buy them piecemeal too. So if you just wanted to go and order, you know, two or three kits and then give them to them throughout the summer. But you can give them this box, and then in this box, they could create something and put it together and learn to read the instructions at their age level and do something creative. I think, you know, the learning is in.
Yeah, I agree. That sounds fantastic. What was that website again?
TERCRATES, Tinker Crates. And when you go on that, you'll see they have something called Kiwi Crates and Doodle Crates. It's all, they're all related. They're for just different age groups, but they're all, it's kind of STEM related activities for different age kids, but they come through the mail, and it's just something fun that you can do over the summer or during the school year. And they just come to your house, and the kids get really excited when they come. And it's a, or there's something called Bitsbox, BITSBOX, bitsbox.com. And that's if you want to teach them how to code, and that's probably appropriate for ages 5 through 13, you get a kit that comes every month, and there's a series of things that they get to type into the computer, and then they get to make their own games that you can actually put into an iPad. And so again, you're teaching them a skill, but they're, instead of just consuming on their electronics and mindlessly watching something, they're actually producing some kind of content. So that's another way to try to get them engaged. So those are some good ideas too, I think.
Yeah, terrific. I hadn't heard of those. So thank you for that. And Beth, I'm really excited because we're going to be creating a course to kind of reiterate some of these things and go a little bit deeper into all the things that you can do with your kids for summer to make it a great, memorable one. So I really appreciate your time, and I can't wait to work further with you, Beth.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.